I appreciate Brother Darrell, and I appreciate his friendship and his counsel. When we had his ordination service, I talked about my father always used to tell me we'd go into church. He'd tell me there's always a church that line understands the Bible, and he's quiet-natured, but other than that, he used to talk to him, teach him a lot. And the one my dad used most often, the two he used most often was at Muleshoe, Brother Charlie Watson, which is Don Watson's father, and here in Lubbock was Brother F.I. Johnson. He said, you know, they're quiet people, but they listen, and they know the scriptures well, and they'll talk to you afterwards, and if you're ever getting astray in any manner, well, they really help you out. I had a subject on my mind that I had been working on for a while, and it wasn't really coming together like I wanted. I couldn't get my thoughts together with it. And then I had breakfast with Brother Darrell yesterday morning, and he relayed to me this same thing about coming and singing and just kind of singing, really, I guess, with himself. And then he pictured Jesus up there leading the singing, and it changed the manner in which he approached his singing. That was on my mind all the rest of the day. And so what's on my mind this morning is a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. Apostle Paul is talking, says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I want to talk to you about singing this morning. This is a subject that I spoke from this pulpit on either 7 or 8 years ago, I guess, and really hadn't thought about it that much more since. And I want to talk to you about it this morning because we're supposed to sing with spirit, which I believe most of us try to do, and we also try to sing with understanding. We are to understand the words we sing, but we should also understand the manner in which we sing. You know, we have our singing here at this church, you know, and we always want to try to improve the singing, and that's my question to today. How could we improve our singing? You know, one thing we lack that I notice every time, and that's we don't have a real good, solid, deep bass singer. You know, one of these songs I try to sing bass just to fill in that part, and I'm not really any good at it. And we've missed a bass singer, so, you know, you think that's leaves a little bit of a hole there that we'd like to be able to fill in, and so we always want to wonder how we can improve our singing. So I've come up with the idea. I thought we might be able to take this room out here and put in some chairs, a little bit of a loft, and we could hire us some good singers, good basses and good sopranos, and we could have a choir, and we could come and we could listen to them sing. That would clearly improve the quality of the actual singing. We could get, I know, I can see around the room, and I don't know all of you, but I know there's several good musicians out here. A couple of you probably play the piano. Many of you play the guitar or instruments. You know, I didn't have enough fingers to play the cornet or saxophone, any of those, but I was a drummer in school. I could play the drums. You know, we could have instrumental music, and we could have a choir. We could have a lot better singing. It would improve the physical quality of our singing, wouldn't it? Why do we not have instrumental music? Why do we not have choir in the church? This goes to the very heart of what Brother Darrell mentioned to me yesterday morning and mentioned here just a few minutes ago. Why don't we have instrumental music? If you go across Lubbock, Lubbock is one of the towns that's full of churches. We've got as many churches per capita here, I think, any place in Texas except perhaps Abilene. I understand Abilene's got a higher pro rata quotient of churches than we do. But here in Lubbock, there's a lot of churches meeting this morning. How many of them met this morning and did not have instrumental music? I think you can count them on the fingers of your hand. I'll let you use my hands. Not very many, is there? Probably 2 or 3 or 4 at most, probably can count them on one hand, that did not have instrumental music. And we're one of those. Why don't we have instrumental music? It would improve our quality. Why don't we have a choir? That would improve our quality too, wouldn't it? And we could come and we could sit and we could enjoy and we could hear them sing. I love music. I mean, if you go turn on my car, almost any time I try to turn the radio off as I'm coming to church because I'm trying to think. But most of the time, you turn on my car and the radio is going to be on. And I travel, y'all know, as much as I drive. I have that satellite radio so I can listen to the songs of the 50s and 60s, and I sing along with them. And I love music, all kinds, country and western, from George Strait and Zac Brown Band to Dolly Parton. I mean, I'm across the board, and Jimmy Buffett, all the songs of the 50s and 60s I grew up with, I love. I love all that music, instrumental music. A couple of my favorite ones I like at Christmas is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and it's nothing but instrumental music, but I love that. Why don't I bring that in the church? Why don't we bring that in here and have that in here? Because then it would improve, and we could come and we could enjoy that music. Why don't we have that? Let's go back and look with me to the Psalms. Go back to the 98th Psalm. Back in the Old Testament, 98th Psalm. Of course, we know this was written by David. 98th Psalm, I'm going to move along here so we can get along with the first of it. Jump down to verse 4 with me. David tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. David says, let's use those instruments of music and let's sing loud. Get it loud in here. Go to Psalm, the last two Psalms, 49 and 50. And there's a number of Psalms that have these in it. Let's go to Psalm number 149, verse 3. Let them sing praise. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. And right next to it, Psalm 150, verse 3. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. David introduced all these instrumental music instruments in the church back in the Old Testament, back when he started. If you go back with me to 2 Samuel, when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he had gone in and captured Jerusalem, the city of Jebus, changed the name to Jerusalem, and made that his headquarters, made that the head of the kingdom of Israel, and he brought in, next thing he did was bring in the Ark of the Covenant into the city. 2 Samuel chapter 6, he's bringing in the Ark of the Covenant and setting it up there in the city, and we get down to verse 5. He says, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. First time David set up the formal church service there in Jerusalem. They'd had the tabernacle roam in the wilderness, and he brought the tabernacle into the city of Jerusalem, set it up, made it a permanent place to worship. And the first thing he did, he introduced musical instruments, stringed instruments, cornets, cymbals. He did that when the ark was brought into city of Zion there, Jerusalem. Again, skipping around here a little bit, but let's go over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, when David, it's a follow-up in more detail about when David brought the harp in Jerusalem. Get down here to verse 16, and David spoke to the chief of the Levites. The Levites were in charge of the temple worship service, the priests. They were in charge of the service. And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps, cymbals, sounding, lifting up the voice with joy. He appointed among the Levites singers. He appointed a choir. Not only are we going to have musical instruments, we're going to have a choir in the church. Go over with me to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. It says, he appoints Solomon to build the temple for him. We know the Lord wouldn't allow David to build the temple, but he had his son Solomon do it. Get on to verse 23, where David made Solomon his son king. Down to verse 3, and it said, now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. Had to be 30 years old to be a Levite priest. And their number by their post, man by man, was 38,000. There were 38,000 Levites in charge of the temple, 38,000 priests that they had rotate in and work on various parts of the temple, of which 24,000 were set forward to do the work of the Lord in the house. 6,000 were officers and judges. Verse 5, moreover, 4,000 were porters, do the handiwork around the church, and 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I have made, said David, to praise therewith. We've made these musical instruments. I've created these. David was a musician. You know, he used to play the harp, great music for Saul to help calm him down. When David started the church, he created a choir. He created all these musical instruments. He appointed, how many did I say, 1,000? 4,000 to praise in the temple with instruments of music that he made. How do we get a better authority than David bringing musical instruments into church? He brought musical instruments in church and played with them. You know, and we know if you go back and read 1 Samuel, when David was appointed the king, when the Lord came and told Samuel to go pick out the king, and he went and saw the sons of Jesse, I believe it was, and they were looking at all the various sons, and he was going to say, Samuel was going to him, couldn't find the right one. The Lord kept telling him, no. And he said, there's one son left. He said, he's out tending the sheep. It's my son David. He's not a particularly impressive guy. We got him out tending the sheep. And so they brought him in. And the Lord said, you know, you're looking at these appearances of these people on the outside. I look at the heart. And that was what always made David such a great king, was that he did everything to the Lord from his heart. He even used those music, instrumental musics too. He did it all planned to praise the Lord, give him appreciation and praise and thanks to the Lord. Everything came from his heart. So he introduced the musical instruments in the church in the Old Testament. And you can see, I mean, it doesn't get any better, generally any better reference than to have King David and what he did and set up the church. Brother Dwayne, you ready to introduce instrumental music in the church? You know, I'm not a very good preacher. I hadn't even convinced one of our deacons here there that we ought to bring instrumental music in the church. I'm not doing a very good job. What's the difference between the Old Testament service, the Old Testament, and the New Testament? What's the big difference? We know the Old Testament's all that old history. Y'all know I love all that old history. And we brought in the New Testament. What's the primary difference? Different stories and all that. But what's the big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? New Testament, we have a guy called Jesus. And that's the big difference. Old Testament, you know, had all those laws, all those 600 and something laws, 632 or something, I forgot the exact number, well over 600 laws that they had to follow back in the Old Testament, had to follow and stay with them, and they never could do that. You know, they were always, go read the book of Judges and you'll see, you know, the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. They never could follow all those old laws. The New Testament and the new covenant that came with it, and this man called Jesus, changed the way we worship. Change the way we worship the Lord. The easiest place to find that out is go to Hebrews with me. 8th chapter of Hebrews. Y'all have all heard this before. But the Lord here says, you know, through the person that wrote this, which I believe was Apostle Paul, he said, this is where the Apostle Paul lays out who Jesus is. He's our new high priest. We had the tribe of Levi to be our priest. He said, we're changing that now. That was under the old covenant that I made with Abraham and with the nation of Israel. I've got a new covenant. And the reason I'm introducing a new covenant is because the people couldn't follow my old covenant. They never could follow it. We had all those laws they had to follow, and they never could do it. He said, so we're going to introduce a new covenant, and we've got one priest of that new covenant. His name is Jesus. He's our new high priest. And he's a mediator, the person we go through, the intermediary is Christ for us. And he's going to be the intermediary for the new Israel, which we call spiritual Israel. You don't have to be a Jew physically anymore. You can be a Gentile like most of us are. And you can worship the Lord through Christ. He is our intermediary. And whereas nobody else was ever able to follow the law, our new high priest, Christ, did follow the law to the jot and the tittle and did it work for us and was the sacrifice. Remember in the Old Testament, they had all those sacrifices. They had to sacrifice all the time. They had to sacrifice at the end of every year to get rid of your sins for that year. Well, then here in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us Christ came along and he made one sacrifice and satisfied the law. He ended, satisfied everything of that old covenant. All the old covenant on the law, he satisfied for us and got it over with. Now we got a new covenant. And that's what the Apostle Paul lays out so good. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I would encourage you to go read Hebrews, and especially 7, 8, 9 chapters. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. But now hath he, we're talking about Christ, he's a greater priest than any of the priests we ever had, and a greater priest than Melchizedek. And it talks about Melchizedek being the priest, the only priest that was ever appointed by God. All the other priests, the Levites, got to be a priest by being born Levite. They were born in the family of Levi, and that's how they got to be priests. Melchizedek was chosen by God. Now we've got another priest in the order of Melchizedek, appointed by God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. You've never seen a ministry anything like the priests used to have. We've got a better ministry. By how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. The Lord has given us a better covenant on better promises than they had in the Old Testament. For if that first covenant had been faultless, it wasn't faultless. It had lots of problems. People couldn't follow it. People could not live up to the righteousness required under the old covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there'd been no place, no need been sought for the second. That's why we got a second covenant. That's why we've got a new covenant. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. We're quoting Jeremiah here, the prophet Jeremiah. Come, the days come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand, led them out of the land of Egypt. Not like that old covenant I had with old Jews people. We've got a new covenant, not like that old one. He said, took them out. He said, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I had all sorts of problems with them trying to follow that covenant, and I was mad at them all the time. We had to punish them and discipline all the time, and none of them could ever follow it. So we got a new covenant. We got a mediator, Christ, who did the sacrifices of the old covenant, satisfied it. God's law had to be satisfied. He satisfied it completely. Now he's our mediator of new covenant of grace. We don't have to do works of righteousness to get to our eternal salvation. Christ has done that for us. He made that sacrifice one time. He said, verse 10, for this is the covenant. Now get ready. I'm going to give you the new covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Let me continue. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. It's not our job to go teach our fellow man to know the Lord. The Lord says, that's my job. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts. I'll do that. That's not the work of the ministry. That's not the work of any of us to go teach you to know the Lord. I can't even teach you to know my brother or my mother or my brother, Brother Kenny. I can't, you know, I know them and I know who they are. But I can't teach you to know them until you get to know them yourself. I can't teach you to know the Lord. The Lord is going to put it into your heart and into your mind. It's going to begin here. I'm going to go directly to the hearts and the mind. And you now have the avenue to go directly to the Lord in prayer. Each one of you. Apostle Paul tells us over in Corinthians that now we don't have a temple to go to anymore. He puts the temple inside you. Your body is the temple. It's your heart. It's inside you. Coming from the heart. Our worship service is not physical anymore. It's spiritual. Coming from the heart. He said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Under the new covenant. He's merciful to our unrighteousness. We're not any better than the people in the Old Testament. But we're under a better covenant. A new covenant. And he's going to be merciful to our unrighteousness. And their sins and iniquities I will remember in no more. In that he saith a new covenant. He has said, in that he said, a new covenant, he hath made the first one old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant is gone. We're to worship under the new covenant. And that new covenant is, it's not my job to teach you to know the Lord. I can't, you're asking me to save your soul. I can't do it. I can't do it. The Lord puts himself inside you, not me, not any minister, not any priest. I can't go out and say, I've saved this many souls today. I don't save anybody. The Lord does that. He goes directly to your heart. He does. Puts himself in you. When you get ready to go to the Lord, you go directly to him. You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go to the high priest like they did in the Old Testament. They had to go in there and give a sacrificial animal to the priest. He had to go in and sacrifice it for you. Put it on that and get rid of your sins. Christ did that. We don't have that old routine anymore. We don't have that old practice anymore. You know, the Primitive Baptist Church is considered an old-timey church. You hear that. I know all of you have heard that from time to time. And I don't really take offense to that. I mean, I understand. We try to practice church just like the apostles did. We sing very simply. We have prayer from the heart, and we try to have preaching from the heart. Very simple, basic service. That's under the new covenant. And we don't go out and try to teach everybody to know the Lord. We're here to minister to those whom the Lord has put himself in their hearts. Lord puts himself in your heart first, and then you can come and you can hear the gospel preached. And it infects you. Thank goodness the Lord speaks through the ministers, because I'd get up here and bumble and fumble, and y'all know me already. I stumble and mispronounce words and all that. But like he did on the day of Pentecost, the Lord takes the preacher and he speaks through them, and you hear what he wants you to hear. I've had different people come up and tell me they heard different things in my sermon. Now, I don't even remember saying either one of them. But the Lord delivers the message in the tongue that he wants you to hear for what you need. He goes directly to your heart. He will use the minister as a spokesman sometimes, but he will translate that message and put it in your heart for what you need. We worship from the heart. That's under this covenant. And he gets over here and he tells us in chapter 9 even, that, but into the second, you know, he's talking about going into the holy tent. When they had to go in, the priest had to go into the second tent every year. Every year, not without blood, he offered himself for the people. But then Christ came in. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things, come to the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. We now have a tabernacle not made with hands. That's your heart. Temple is inside you. It's your heart and your soul. As Jesus told the woman at the well, you know, you people, you Samaritans, y'all go worship in the mountain, the temple in the mountains. And the Jewish people, they go worship in Jerusalem. He said, we're doing away with that. He said, now you must worship, as Brother Darrell said, in spirit and in truth. We're worshiping in spirit. The temple is now inside you. We're together and support each other and help each other out. And to come here to praise the Lord. This church service is not about you or me. It's about him. We come to praise him. And we come to do it from the heart. Here it says, but Christ being come, he entered that tabernacle not one, and not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Having obtained, past tense. When he went and laid his blood on the cross and laid it before the mercy seat before God, he obtained eternal redemption for all of us at that time. He's finished the work of salvation. Our job is now to come and thank him for that. And he puts himself directly in your heart so that you have the avenue. You don't have to go to any of the old high priests like they had to in the Old Testament. You go directly to him. There's no intermediary except him. Everything we do is through him and directly through him. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, verse 15, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, which they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance, because under this new testament. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. That's telling us he's satisfied that old covenant. It's now gone. We don't worship like they did in the Old Testament anymore. We worship under the new testament. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he changed the way we worship. We don't go worship to try to obtain righteousness. We come to thank him for the righteousness that he has given to us. Our worship service is not physical anymore. It's spiritual. He changed the worship service and he changed the service. What had gone wrong under the Old Testament that it was changed? What had happened under the Old Testament that God became unsatisfied with and said we had to have a new covenant? Let me go back to a couple places. Go back with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet at the time that the nation of Israel was becoming condemned because of all its sin it had created. He was unhappy with his church service. He was unhappy with what man had done to the worship service. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. He starts off here with the parable of the vineyard. This is basically the same one that is repeated up in Matthew 21. The Lord says, I come and I created a vineyard. He's talking about a church service. I come and I created a vineyard and I put everything in the vineyard needed. I put everything in that church service that it was needed. I gave it all the parts, everything that was needed. It says, verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard? And what have I and that I have done with? I put everything in it. Therefore, when I look at what should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Men didn't worship me the way they were supposed to under that old worship service, in that old church service. And he goes on and tells us, he said, therefore I'm going to let it waste. It shall not be pruned, it shall not be digged. For the vineyard of the Lord, of the host of the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but he beheld oppression for the righteousness. But behold a cry. And he gets to verse 8, and this is where I want to get to, verse 8 and 11. Woe unto them that join house to house. He was saying there was a real problem with the worship service under the old temple, the tabernacle worship service. Verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they might follow strong drink. Was there wine drinking in the church? Yeah, there was. But he said, you started drinking for drinking's sake and for yourselves. Woe unto them that rise early in the morning, that they might follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the viol, and the tabouret, and the pipes, and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. You're going to church for your sake. You're going so you can drink the wine. You're going so you can play music for yourselves. You're not playing it for me. You're playing it so it sounds good to you, and you can bar. You've taken the church service and turned it into a party. That's what he's telling us took in place under the Old Testament. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. He's saying the problem with the church service in the Old Testament is people don't know me anymore. They've quit teaching about the Lord. They're playing musical instruments to themselves. They're partying. They've made it a social hour. They're not coming for me. They're not coming to worship me from the heart. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And this was the Pharisees. They were in charge of the church. They looked down on everybody else and they made it their own little kingdom. And they drank the wine and they played the musical instruments unto themselves. Woe unto them that are mighty and to drink wine, and men do strength and mingle strong drink. They had completely changed the worship service. In Isaiah, he's telling us, he said, so we're changing that worship service. Over here in chapter 7, he says, and we're bringing something new. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. If you go over to chapter 9, he says, we're bringing a man that we're going to call the Prince of Peace, to change the worship service. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government, the church, shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, he's taken David's place, this new guy called Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with judgment, justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord's bringing in this new guy to mediate a new covenant. Isaiah predicted that when he said there's problems with the church service. Over here, skip over here to the minor prophet Amos. Let me move along here. Amos, the minor prophet, book of Amos, chapter 5. Amos was there as a prophet at the same time as Isaiah. Isaiah was the more prominent one, but Amos was too. And he said, there's a problem with Israel. The problem, you've messed up your worship service. You're not worshiping the Lord the way you ought to. You're not following the covenant that laid down. Get over here in verse 18, and I'll skip down to verse 21. He said, verse 18, starts off, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. You're worshiping the Lord in darkness. Over here, Isaiah said, my people have no knowledge. You're not teaching them about the Lord anymore. You're going to church for church sakes. As Brother Darrell said, that sometimes we all get into that. We're going for church sakes. You're not coming for me. You're not coming for me with your hearts. Remember over in the 21st chapter of Matthew, Jesus was confronting the Pharisees, and he said, you talk good, and you have church good, but your heart's not in it. Words come out of your mouth and you don't really mean it. I don't have any of you's heart. You've messed up the church service. Verse 21, I despise your feast days. This is the Lord talking to Amos. He said, I hate and I despise your feast days. Wait a minute. Back on 23rd Leviticus, he created all these feast days. The Passover, the Day of Atonement, the first fruits, giving of first fruits, all those feast days. The Lord says, I hate those. Well, Lord, you created them. He says, but I hate the way you've turned them into, what you're doing with them. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. I'll not smell the incense. Well, Lord, back over in Leviticus, over the old law, you told us to create this incense and sacrifice these animals and create a creed savor to the Lord. He goes, I hate them. You're not doing it for me. You're doing all this for yourself. You're creating feasts so that you can have parties. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Lord, you told us to make them to you. He said, I don't accept them anymore because you've turned this into a party. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols, thy violins. You're having church service to entertain yourself. You're not coming for me. Chapter 6 of Amos. He says again, starts off, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Verse 5. That chant, the people that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. Woe unto them that use instruments of music like David. David may have done it right because David did it from the heart, but y'all are not doing it anymore to your heart, out of your heart. You're doing it for yourselves, for your own entertainment. You know, I love instrumental music. And if we brought a violin or a piano or a guitar in the church, I would love the sound of that, and I could listen to that, and I could enjoy that. But the Lord says, you're doing that for your own enjoyment. You know, how many times do we sing because I want it to be sound good to me, to my ears? I remember several years ago when I came into church, back when we were on 23rd and Avenue X, we had a small crowd that day, and I can't remember who it was. I sat down to a man that we had visiting with us, sat down next to him, and we sang a song. I have never heard anybody sing worse off key in my life. You know, I wanted to cover up my ears and thought, why did I sit here? This guy is so bad. I'm having a hard time singing because he's singing so poorly and badly. We finished that song, and he looked over at me and he said, man, wasn't that beautiful? And I went, oh, my goodness. He's singing from his heart, and I was listening with my ears instead of listening with my heart. I started listening to that man sing, and it was physically, it was terrible. But I laughed at myself because I said, he is singing from his heart. He is not singing from his vocal cords. He was looking at that song, and he was singing, as Brother Darrell said, like he was singing to Christ. He got a greater blessing that day than I did. And he could barely sing. You know, I'm not that great a singer, but I was sitting there thinking, you know, I can beat him on that singing song. No, I couldn't either. I wasn't touching. I wasn't laying a finger on him. He was singing to the Lord, and he got the blessing that day, not me. Because he came to sing from his heart. That's what this Amos and Isaiah were criticizing here. Christ, and that's what Christ came to change, was the manner of our worship service. You remember what Christ did over there? And it's, you know, I think it's in all four Gospels somewhere. He came in and he cleansed the temple. Why did he have to cleanse the temple? Same way Hezekiah did back then. Because he had to take all the stuff out of it that man had let get into it. He said, I want to clean it. You have taken my father's house of prayer and turned it into a den of thieves. They had set up goods and tables and selling people. They were using the church for profit. And they were using it for all manner of stuff other than coming to worship him. Yeah, we're an old-timey church. We don't do all those side things. We come in and we sing and we pray and we preached. But you know what? I strongly contend we are the most modern church because we worship under the new covenant, not under the old one that's been done away with. We worship under the modern new covenant, worshiping the way the Lord told us to worship from our hearts. And that's what we're told here that he tells us. He said, basically, the church service in the Old Testament, they had made it a party. You come here to party. You come here for your own enjoyment. You come here for your own enjoyment. Now, we know if you come here to praise the Lord, you're going to walk away with a blessing. And if you come in here expecting praising the Lord and singing to Jesus and preaching to Jesus and coming here to praise him, you're going to walk away feeling good about yourself. You're going to walk away with a blessing. Now, I love music, and there's a place for that in the world, and the Lord doesn't deny us listening to good music and getting enjoyment from it, but that's for me. That's for my flesh. That's from my flesh and blood. And I'll sing along if you ever ridden me in the car. I sing along the radio and I lead those songs and I sing loud. That's for my benefit. I'm not praising the Lord when I'm doing that. We come here to praise him. We come to praise him from the heart. He changed it. You know, The organ wasn't introduced in the church service until about 600 A.D. by Constantine. He put it in the Universal Church in Rome and the Universal Church he created in Constantinople, named the city after himself. That's the first time instrumental music was ever introduced in the church. Instrumental music hasn't been in Christian churches but about the last 100 to 150 years. We've not had instrumental music by any of the great leaders of the church world. John Wesley did not approve of instrumental music in the church. John Calvin said that instrumental music had no business in the church. All these great reformers, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, all the great leaders of the church back in the 1700s, 1800s says instrumental music has no place in the church. We've introduced them because it sounds good to us. And I'll admit, a pianist playing, that helps cover my bad voice. And I'll maybe even sing a little louder if I got a good loud piano going. If there's a choir going, I might mouth the words. That's exactly what they were doing back in the Old Testament that the Lord didn't like. I want it from your heart. Go look at the New Testament. We're under the New Covenant. That's why I said we're a modern church. You know, you don't always think it. Sometimes our music's not perfect, and our prayers come from the heart. We don't plan them out ahead of time. We don't write them ahead of time. We don't write our sermons out ahead of time. We try to come up here and let the Lord guide us. We need to study. We're told to study and get ready. This time I did on kind of short after Brother Darrell changed my direction. But we're to come and speak from the heart. We're to pray from the heart, and you're to sing from the heart. Doesn't matter what you sound like. You think the Lord doesn't know what your voice sounds like? He gave it to you. That voice you have, he put inside you. You need to return it to him. Whatever it sounds like, we need to sing to the Lord. Like Brother Darrell hit me in the face when he said, if I'd sing, I need to sing thinking that Jesus is up there leading. And I went, wow. That's the way we need to sing. Let me close this out. A couple of verses here. Go with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. First of all, verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. If I'm wanting to have some instrumental music because my singing will be better, then I'm wanting to so it'll hear good to my ear. I'm not thinking about how Christ hears it, and he wants to hear it sincerely from my heart, what's on sincerely on my heart. But he says here, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. You're the elect of God. That means that eternal salvation that God got for us, that Christ got for us on the cross. He got us eternal redemption. We have obtained that. He has already obtained that for us. Some people don't believe in election. How can there be an election? How can there be an elect if there hasn't been an election? Put therefore as the elect of God. God's already put him in your heart. He's already given you eternal salvation. We need to thank him for that. And that's what Apostle Paul's telling us here. You're the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on it bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, mindness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Study the Bible. Don't come here to learn about it. Study before you get here. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Sing with grace in your hearts. You think, but Don, I can't sing. I can't either. I can't sing. It sounds terrible. You know, over in Romans 8, the Lord tells us, you can't pray, all you got to do is groan. And the Lord understands your groanings. You know, I mentioned that before. You know, sometimes when we want to pray, we want to have these good long prayers when I don't really need anything. I don't think I do, and I'm just praying long prayers to be praying. And the time I had heart surgery and they rolled me back there in that hallway on that gurney by myself, and I'm praying, and my prayer is, Lord, help me. Sometimes I couldn't get the words out. But they were coming out of my heart. Lord already knows what you need before you ask. It comes from the heart. He hears you. If you can't sing, Lord doesn't care what you sound like. He understands if it's coming from the heart. That's the way we're to come here. We're to come here with not any outside interferences. We're to have a nice building, a nice church. We don't need a temple. That's what got them in trouble. They had these great temples, and they wore all these beautiful, great robes they had to wear. And they did all these things of the Lord and made it an ornate for him. But they took it upon themselves to build themselves their own kingdom. They took it on themselves to make church party services. I'm putting this in my vernacular for today's times. But they made a party, and they used it to come and drink and party and have musical instruments and to sell to other people to make a profit off of it. That's what Isaiah and Amos tells us. You're using the church service wrong. Christ came to change all that, and that's why he overthrew the money tables. Get rid of this junk out of my Father's house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. That's what he said, and when you pray, you don't have to worry. When you pray, don't worry if you can't say the right words. The Lord knows, but you should pray. He knows when you have it in your heart and when you don't. Go to Ephesians with me, and we'll close on this. Go to Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're to make melody in our heart. We're not to rely on anything else. We're to make melody in our heart. We're under the new covenant. We're not under the Old Testament. We're under the new covenant. And there is not a single scripture in the New Testament that authorizes instrumental music in the church. Not a single one. You got to go back to the Old Testament to find that. And yeah, they did that. But he said, we're stopping that worship service. We're changing. You're now to worship him from the heart. Where he's come into your life and put you. He's put the temple inside you now. You're your own temple. You don't have to go through any high priest like they had to in the old days. You now go directly to him with your wants and your desires. And then we're together to support each other. And we're to sing praises to him. And we're to sing them from the heart. And we're to pray from the heart. I appreciate it so much when Brother Darrell or somebody else comes up here who are not really prepared, but they speak from the heart. Nothing is more inspirational than when that occurs. We have a wonderful Lord that we serve. He has given us the most simplest of ways to come and worship him. We're not to rely on any outside things. We're to have a nice building. It's good. We have a wonderful building here to meet in. We're not to have any other things that we come and we don't come here for the benefit of ourselves. We come in here for the benefit of worshiping him. And we do that individually from the heart. And when we sing sometimes and we all sing good, it's going to make wonderful melody. But more than that, sometimes it sounds good to my ears and sometimes it doesn't. But my ears don't count. It's the Lord that we need to be singing to. It's the Lord that we need to be praising. He could give you a perfect voice if he chose to. He didn't. Didn't give me one. Certainly not. But he likes it when he comes directly from your heart and he'll hear you when it's coming from the heart. Y'all have been very kind to me with your attention.